the winning sound of Network Sports.
And a very pleasant good evening to you, and welcome to another very special edition of Mason and Guests, heard on Voice of Barbados. You can call us at 4341790. You can send us a WhatsApp at 253-4679 or an email at cricketmason@yahoo.com. Mason and Guests is brought to an association with our very good friends at Barbados Lottery, promoting youth sport and culture.
It's time to scratch your ticket. Scratch and you could win it. Plenty lottery games to win. Scratch. Are you doing something? So run and get your ticket. Scratch. Scratch and you could win it. Over 120,000 in cash. Scratch. Barbados Lottery. Scratch. Run and get your ticket. Scratch. Scratch and you could win it. Over 120,000 in cash. Scratch. Barbados Lottery. Scratch. It's time to scratch your ticket. Scratch and you could win it. It's time to scratch your ticket. Scratch and Barbados Lottery.
Well, the test match very interestingly positioned at the end of the third day. 169 and 255 for four. Sri Lanka, the West Indies 271. So it means that the Sri Lankans are in front with a lead of 153 with six wickets in the bag. And one would want to suggest that having been bowled out for 169 and to have restricted the West Indies to 271 with a tail not wagging this morning, that Sri Lanka, they've crawled their way back in to this match. And when you consider the West Indies would have to bat last, you never know. It's a very interesting situation. Of course, we're going to be looking at that test match. We hope to go to Antigua and talk to some of the big guns down there a little bit later on. And of course, we also want to pay some attention to the upcoming elections. Yes, come Sunday, March the 28th, it's going to be Skerrett and Shallow facing Senasi and Hope. And from all reports, it could be a very interesting battle. The question we ask, who will win? The answer is, I really don't know. All right, let's, without any further ado, we're going to look at that scorecard a little bit later on. But Toby Radford, the batting coach, is very much online. I don't know where he is. Maybe he could be at the White House talking to Joe Biden. It can't be Donald Trump anymore, really. Where are you, Toby? How are you? Are you at the White House?
I hope you are. No, I wish I was. No, I'm in a still in lockdown in Cardiff. Still in lockdown in the UK. Been in lockdown for 3 months.
I see.
Further than 5 miles from
now. Oh my golly! Yeah. All right. So it means you miss Barbados.
Oh, do I? What? That sunshine and the heat and the blue skies and the blue sea. Oh gosh. I'd give anything to get to Barbados now, believe me.
Indeed. All right. In terms of COVID, how are things shaping up? I understand that things are a little bit better now there.
Well, they've vaccinated a lot of people. Half the population, or the older population, have been vaccinated. Mm. I come just under the 50-year-old. I'm 49. I'm 58 in December. But I won't get vaccinated probably for another month or two. Mm. But they vaccinated half the population, which is a great thing. So at least there's quite a few people now happier to get out and about and, not too worried about catching it, I think.
Mm-hmm. Well, we got Roland Butcher, who's not 49 by any stretch of the imagination. We know that Roland is pretty close to 80 now, and is showing, because I note with interest that his beard is now it's not black anymore. It's what is that color? It's looking a bit like snow there. Hello, Roland. Nice to see you. How are you, my friend?
Andrew, I'm fine, and good to hear you. And hello to Toby and Dr. Andrew.
Hi, Butch. Yeah.
Yes, it's silver now, Andrew. It's not
great.
It's silver.
Right, of course. And silver sounds a little bit better, really. All right, gentlemen, let's look at the test match now. Let's start with you, Toby. How do you read this test match? Yeah. The Sri Lankans all up for 169. The West Indies, 268. They might have been looking for a bit more. The lead just over 100. Our wicket went pretty early, but then we saw a very good partnership for the second wicket. How do you assess the test match going into the fourth day?
Well, I mean, Sri Lanka have certainly turned up today, haven't they? I mean, they've made a bit much better attempt second time around. And I think tomorrow morning, I mean, that two-hour session tomorrow is massive. I think that the West Indies come out and try and take a couple of early wickets. you don't really want to be chasing more than 250, do you, on your last innings? I mean, I know they've had this fantastic chase in Bangladesh of 300 plus, but you don't really want to be more than 250. So I think getting a couple of early wickets is huge tomorrow. Break this partnership that's built. And then potentially I see a West Indies win. If they get a good start tomorrow, if Sri Lanka can get through that first patch without losing many wickets, then it's suddenly the pressure builds on the West Indies and you start to wonder, you've got to get them all out and then get a chaseable score. So that, for me, huge in the morning that the bowlers come out, Roach is fired up, the guys get a couple of early wickets. That's how I see it.
Mm. Roland?
Well, Andrew, I think the situation right now, the game is very delicately poised. I think going into tonight, Sri Lanka will be a lot happier than the West Indies because they've really come back from the brink. Really, with that lead in first innings, you would have thought that West Indies was very much in control of the game. But all credit to Sri Lanka, the way that they've gone about their business today and the way they've occupied the crease and scored at the same time, show that it's still a good pitch, but they have shown that they're not as bad a side as people think they are. Certainly, they've got a couple of quality young batsmen. And really, with the lead of 153, I think they're very much in the game. If they can eke out another 100 runs for those last six wickets, I think it'll be a very tall order for the West Indies going into the final day, wanting 250 for victory. It's not going to be easy. I think anything over 200 is going to be hard.
All right, let's look at the West Indies in terms of the bowling in the second innings. Were you happy with the way they bowled with that lead of 102? Roland?
Well, for me, Andrew, I think Gabriel has been on the ball.
On the ball?
Yeah, I mean, in a situation where you are trying to get wickets, you've got a lead of 100 or so runs. And your number one fast bowler bowls only 11 overs in the day. That tells me that he's either not fully fit or he's short of work or there's something quite not right, because I would have expected that he would have bowled a lot more overs today and try and pressure the Sri Lankan batsman. So the fact that he's only bowled so few overs really is a bit of a worry for me.
Mm. Toby?
But it looked in Bangladesh, obviously very different wickets, but the bowling attack did well with the spin, didn't they? Cornwall bowled especially well out there. I haven't been able to see the footage there. I've been following the score on my app here. But it looks as if he's gone up three or four and over and hasn't done the same damage on that pitch that he was doing on the pitches in Bangladesh. Clearly batted very well first innings, had a great innings, really pleased for him and he got some runs. But it doesn't look as if the spin has done the damage. And Butch is probably right. You need your strike bowler to be bowling more. And it's his job to get up and knock a couple of them over. But, if you're only bowling 11 overs in a day when you've got that kind of lead, I think as Butch says, there's either an injury there or there's something a bit more going on, because you'd expect him to probably bowl, another four, five or six overs on top of that in a day, to be honest.
Mm. Dr. Ford, how are you, sir? I see you're making a note. Is it about Craig Brathwaite's captaincy?
Hi, Andrew and Roland and Toby and the listeners. I was actually just having a look at my computer. Question, Toby, we didn't get to 300 in our first innings, but we batted a lot of balls. And, three of our players got starts, Campbell, Mayers, and De Silva, but only Cornwall was able to get over 50. Is that something that concerns you? We had opportunities, but did we?
I think there's definitely been more discipline, and it looks, if you look at how they played in Bangladesh, just a month ago, where they won those two test matches, they occupied the crease, they were prepared to bat for long periods of time, Myers, Bonner, De Silva. So it's clearly a plan. And you're seeing that now with the opening bat, that they started to look to play. The danger is if you bat long periods of time but you don't score, and then suddenly you lose two or three wickets, you have been there a long time, but you haven't gone anywhere. The ball hasn't gone anywhere. So if you go on, it's fantastic, and you set up games and you win test matches. What you can't afford to do is bat long periods of time and get out for 40. You've got to go on and get your 90s, 100s and big 100s. And that didn't happen yesterday. Most of those runs, people got starts early on, but most of those runs came in that lower middle order. And without De Silva and Cornwall coming in and doing what they did, there wouldn't have been a lead at all. Mm. So I take what you're saying. People got in and didn't go on. But there's clearly an intent, and it must have been discussed in those meetings, and it must be a team plan. They're looking to back time. which I'm all for that in Test cricket. But you, if you do that, you've got to go on. You can't be getting then getting out in 30s and 40s. Otherwise, you don't go anywhere.
Roland, we saw today the trouble. We weren't getting the wickets as quickly, and we ended up with 7 bowlers. You mentioned that Gabriel wasn't bold enough, but Mayers got 2 wickets in 4 overs. Was Mayers bold enough?
Well, I mean, the question is, that's a very good question, but I mean, at the moment, he's not considered one of the main bowlers. I mean, you've got several, you've got X amount of fast bowlers plus the spinners, so, you know, Mayers will certainly come into the attack after them. He will not be considered, certainly, before bowling before Jason Hall or Zari Joseph or Roach or Gabriel. So he will come in later on. What I would say is that there has been a reliance on the spin, because, you know, Cornwall bowled 25 overs today and nobody else bowled more than, I think, what, 14? Yeah, Jason Hall bowled 14. He bowled 25 and all the others were 13, 12 and 11. He's gone for 85. So, you know, that has not worked. You know, Sri Lanka, you must recognize that, you know, where they come from, they don't play the spin too badly. You know, they're pretty good players of the spin bowling. So while Cornwall is a threat, you know, I think he's got to be used wisely, because, you know, they will also enjoy batting against him. And you saw today, you know, Fernando, who is a very promising young player, you know, the way he played the spin, he didn't just play orthodox. I mean, he plays several reverse sweep with authority. So it tells you that even a young player like him, that he fancies himself against the spin. So that's where West Indies have got to be very careful, that they don't put all their eggs in that one basket. And the way things have worked out today, I think it's worked out perfect for Sri Lanka. Dr. Ford, going back to yesterday, I think things could have been a lot worse for the West Indies, really, because, you know, Cornwall got them out of jail, really, yesterday, because Sri Lanka was right in the game. And that partnership with De Silva is what really allowed West Indies to get that lead. So it could have been even Stevens. And the way Sri Lanka batted in the second innings, and the stats have shown that Sri Lanka usually bat very well in one of the innings, and they bat well in the first innings, but they're showing that in the second innings, and that is going to form. So that has been expected of a team like Sri Lanka. So West Indies, they got out of jail, but I think today, over-reliance on spin, when perhaps the faster bowlers could have done some more work.
So are you saying, just before Dr. Ford comes in, that Craig Brathwaite got it wrong?
No, Andrew, that's what you're saying. I'm not saying that at all.
No, but you're saying, but I'm listening to you very carefully.
When you say Craig Brathwaite has got it wrong,
in terms of the way he set up his bowling.
I'm sure that Craig as captain does not make all the decisions on the field. I'm sure, you know, there's discussions that take place. And I was watching today and I saw all the senior players having discussions. So yeah, they come to
But Roland, you said.
Andrew, this is my observation.
No, but I'm listening to you and making notes.
I am not criticizing the captain.
But hold on. But you said that you were surprised that Gabriel only bowled 11 overs. Didn't you say that?
Well, I did, yes.
Good.
But I also said that I'm not sure if he has a problem or whether he's just easing his way back into it. I don't know why.
But didn't you also say, Roland, that you expected the fast bowlers to bowl more?
No, Andrew, please don't put words in my mouth.
No, I never even entertained the thought.
Right. What I'm saying is, right, I'm talking about me. I'm not captain of the West Indies team.
Right.
Right. So captain of the West Indies team will actually do things how he sees it. I'm saying me, if Gabriel was fully fit,
I would have bowled him some more.
But I do not know the fitness of Gabriel. I don't know what's going on down in Antigua. So you have to speak to someone in Antigua to find out whether Gabriel is 100% or not.
Interesting. No, Andrew,
that is premised on the damage that was done by the Sri Lankan seamers. The spinners didn't do the damage. You know, the seamers did the damage.
Right, okay. Well, okay, Toby? Your assessment?
Well, no, what I was going to I was going to come in there and just say that we've obviously had these two great wins in Bangladesh, right? And Rakeem Cornwell played a huge part with the ball, but it was on different pitches against a different batting lineup. And I think this is almost where Butch was going, that because he did so well, it was almost like pass the ball to Rakeem and he'll do it again in Antigua. But he's now bowling against Sri Lanka, who are play spin very well, probably on a better surface than the ones in, and a different type of surface to the ones in Bangladesh. So therefore, he hasn't today had the same impact that he had when he won those two, or helped to win those two test matches in Bangladesh. So therefore, you say, well, hang on a minute, maybe we'll go to the pace and the seamers, which Sri Lanka probably won't like as much as the spin, on a pitch in Antigua, which maybe will definitely offer a bit more pace and bounce, certainly than some of those pitches in Bangladesh, for sure. So, you know, what worked in Bangladesh a month ago might not necessarily work today in Antigua against a different side.
So you were expecting the paces to bow more than Toby?
Well, I'm not there. And exactly like Butch is saying, you know, this is not criticism at all. This is potentially how he would do it or I would do it. It's very easy to fall into a trap. If a team wins and has had two fantastic wins away from home and everyone's lauding the side and one player plays such a big part, there's almost an expectation, subconscious expectation, that that bloke's going to go and do it again. But it's a different game in a different country on a different pitch against a different team. So it doesn't necessarily mean he can turn up today and he's gone a 3 or 4 and over. They've played him better. The pitch isn't offering them the same. You know, he's a fine bowler. Tomorrow he could go out and get a few more wickets. Yep. But that wicket might have suited a bit more pace and bounce, and the opposition may be more vulnerable against pace and bounce.
Just before Dr. Ford comes in, your assessment, Roland, of Craig's captaincy so far in the test match?
What I've seen so far, I think he's done well. I mean, if you saw the fields that he's had set, particularly in the first innings, and when batsmen came in, he exerted the pressure. So, you know, I think he's done well. And you have to go back to Bangladesh, where he obviously started it there, impressed the selectors who entrusted him with the job. And, you know, I think he's done okay.
Mm-hmm. Toby, you share the same view?
Oh, look, I think Craig knows the game. I mean, I've spent a lot of time with Craig. I haven't been able to see all I can follow is the scores and the general feeling of who's bowling. I haven't been able to see the footage in the same way you guys have. So I can't comment on his stuff today. But look, I know Craig knows the game inside out. He's going to be a good captain. So I have no queries of it. But to be honest, I had no quibbles with Jason. You know, I've spent a lot of time with Jason. So I don't want to get caught in this.
Not at all. My concern is that they're instinctively defensive. That's my concern.
What, the captains?
Oh, yes. Both of them.
I think, to be honest, though, Andrew, I think Butch was alluding to the point as well. It's not only the captain. You know, there are other coaches around him. There's a head coach, there's specialist coaches, there's discussions with other players. So, you know, when decisions are made, it's not only one person makes a decision. You know, there's often discussions go on clearly in meetings leading up to the game, lunchtime, tea time. You know, there's always talks about what we should do next. And yes, the captain carries the can at the end of the day, but it's not always his thinking.
All right. Well, Dr. Ford is keen to come in. He's a big Jason Holder man. Dr. Ford?
Well, you're bowling some spin there or pace, I'm not sure. But
medium pace at Kyle Mayers.
Be a Roland tied down for an appreciable amount of time. Toby been around the team for previously. This new construct of the team with Jason coming in at 6 and having 5 bowlers, is this something that you feel is a good developmental move for the test? It gives us the bat shorter, but we have some utility players there that can bat, like Joseph and also De Silva and Cornwall. What do you think about this new construct?
It comes down to how well those players play, doesn't it? If Jason plays at his best with the bat, he's scored double hundreds before he scored runs, and he's consistent, then it works. Jason's got to be in form scoring those runs. What I've liked, and again, I haven't really seen him play, but he just looks, you know, the bits I have seen, looks a fine player, and his scores are good. De Silva looks a good player already, and I think he's hopefully got a good long-term future for himself. He's coming in. Cornwall, as we've always known, he can bat in domestic cricket. He's gone and got his first score yesterday in international cricket, and it takes time to adjust to this level to go in at international cricket. So there's clearly people who can play there. It's doing it when you come up against the best teams, isn't it? So when you come up against the best bowling attacks, whether it's England, you know, when it's swinging around, or it's Australia bouncing you, or South Africa on quicker wickets, that's 6, 7 and 8 have got to be able to hold up against Trent Bolt and Stark and all these other people around the world, because there's so many other top teams that you're going to come up against over the next few years. So it's being able to do it against them. You know, there's teams you can do it against, but it's doing it against all the teams. That's what you want.
Roland, you can look at that, but also when you look at the lineup, I get the impression that we really don't have a number three batsman. We have a lot of promising middle order batsmen. I believe a lot of the batsmen, even some that aren't in the team like Hope or Chase, are middle order batsmen. And I get the impression that we lack a genuine number three batsman. What do you think about the construct and not having a number three?
Mm-hmm. Well, listen, it's quite early stage now. You know, these guys are very... The middle order is very much at the early stages of their international career. So, you know, you have to give them time. These guys have, they're only two test matches old. So Bonner, Kyle Mayers, De Silva, those guys have, they've got a few test matches behind them. So, you know, they're the ones that make up the middle order. So you have to give them an opportunity. You know, Bonner got the chance to bat at number three. You can't judge him just yet after one game whether he's going to be an effective number three for West Indies going forward. You know, he has to be given the opportunity. You know, he got 30 out in the first innings. He'd be disappointed that, you know, he got out after getting in and getting 30. But you have to give him a chance. You know, you've also got Kyle Mayers, you know, who is very young in his career as well. You know, seems to get to 40 quite easily, Kyle. I think what Kyle has to concentrate now on is once he gets to that 40, you know, going on and getting a big score. You know, you've seen it happen a few times, even in Bangladesh. You know, he got 40-odd in the, I think it was the T20, or is it T20 or the ODI? One of those, he got a 40-odd, got out. First, in his test match, he got a 40 in the first innings and got out. Here, he's got a 40 and got out. So that is something that he's got to work on, because all of those could have
been... What do you think is the problem, Roland?
Well, listen, it's a different level. You know, Andrew, in order to get runs at test level, it takes a long time, you know. The 40 that he got in the test match would be 80 or 90 at first class level and 100 at club level. So it's going to take a lot longer. And you must remember that these guys in our side, they're still very young at international level, which means that they're not used to batting for a whole day at a time, because in first class cricket, they don't bat for a long period. You saw how long Campbell had to bat in the first innings,
right,
to get the 40 he got. It's what test cricket is about. You have to bat, you know, you're up against the best, and it takes a lot out of you mentally and physically, you know, to make big runs. So I think Kyle is going to learn. He's got to learn that, you know, it's going to be hard, but when he gets to the 40, really, he's got to redouble his efforts then, you know, get past that and move on.
Would you bat him at four on this side? Doc, a very good question you're asking. You got Brathwaite and Campbell, Bonner at three, Mayers at four, Blackwood at five, am I right? Then you have Holder coming in, then De Silva, and then, in fact, Joseph is batting ahead of Cornwall. Would you bat Joseph ahead of Cornwall? Roland, talk to me.
Is that for Doc? Or for me?
Yes.
Joseph ahead of Cornwall? Well, I think on what Joseph has done so far in international cricket, Cornwall hasn't done yet. So, you know, Cornwall is a work in progress. So, you know, Joseph would have justified his elevation in the order, because the guy has got 280 odds in the last three test matches.
Right.
So, you know, you've got to reward that. And there must be something there. So, you know, only time will tell whether he's able to continue doing that. But, you've got to give the order a chance, you know.
Mm. So you have no difficulties with the order. Is that what you're saying, Roland?
But not as it stands now. I think if you look at it, what you would really like to see, based on experience, I would have liked to seen a Blackwood split Mayors and Bonner.
Say that again.
But what I'm saying is the experience of those three players.
Right.
Right. You've got Bonner.
At three.
You've got Kyle Mayers and Blackwood.
Right. Right.
Blackwood is clearly the most experienced out of all of those. Right. And have done better than all of the three, right? But obviously, you know, maybe his preference or they prefer him to bat at five. All I'm saying is that those two young players at three and four, it's a lot of responsibility because, you know, three and four in a side, you know, the best players have to be there.
So then you do have a slight, you do have a problem with the order then, Roland, because you're suggesting here.
I say I have a problem.
But you're suggesting, based on what you're saying, hold on, based on what you're saying, Roland, is that you're saying that you would back with a head of mirrors. Isn't that what you're saying, Roland?
Andrew, listen to me clearly.
I'm listening to you. I always listen to you, Roland.
Through my experience of 20-odd years as a professional,
yes,
I have gained quite a lot of insight into the game of cricket.
Right.
What I'm saying is that, in my estimation, right, Bonner coming at three and Mayers at four, they're the two youngest players
right.
in terms of international exposure.
Right.
So it's going to be additional pressure for them because they're going to be up against the best bowlers. Ball is going to be relatively new. And three and four in a team is where your best players bat.
Right.
Mm-hmm. All I'm saying is, and I may be wrong, because Blackwood might prefer, and the team might prefer Blackwood to bat at five. But I'm saying based on experience, right, you know, in another team, you know, Blackwood would split those two so that they don't come one after the other. Because, you know, test cricket is not easy, Andrew.
No, it's not.
It is not like playing at St. Catharines on a Saturday afternoon.
Nope.
You know, when you bat three and four in this match, that is serious.
All right. When we come back, we're going to certainly throw the same question to Toby Radford, who's made some notes. And, of course, we also want to continue our chat in relation to the team. I also want to ask the question. I know it's just happened. Would you not maybe play Darren Bravo on this side? Because, you know, it looks to me as if maybe you could be a batsman short. I mean, I'm not quite sure. But, of course, when we come back from our break, we look at that Mason and Guesses Broughton Association with our very good friends at Barbados Lottery promoting youth sport and culture.
Hey, look at you stepping out in a designer dress and brand new shoes.
Well, I step up my winnings with Red Hot and Wild Nines.
It's the new Red Hot and Wild Nines. $10 instant scratch ticket from the Barbados Lottery with over $900,000 in cash prizes and 20 chances to win with a top prize of $100,000.
So you play Red Hot and Wild Nines yet?
Yes, but I didn't get new shoes like you.
Why not?
Because I'm not walking.
Step up your winnings with the new Red Hot and Wild Nines instant scratch ticket from the Barbados Lottery.